Hello, it's Greg Williams again. We welcome you to Love and Lordship Live, and thank you for joining us, sharing us, and helping us as we work to help others in their walk with Jesus Christ. And so this week, I'm going to dive right in, but before I do, I want to say this. If you have a question or a comment, because we're getting into some stuff here that's not always easy, maybe to understand, or we've been deceived in some ways. And so ask your question, make your comment. We'd love to hear it. Jeff, my tech guy back there, and my ad guy, promotional guy, he's going to send that to me if you send it, and we'll try and answer that. So going to use the same format we have been. I got a couple of stories here, and then we're going to close with some back and forth between a guy that I've mentored before. So appreciate again you being with us, and we want to focus our attention. We've got some people joining. We appreciate that. On this week, on the contrast of the way the world and our flesh sees love and exercises it, puts it into action, and how that contrasts with how God has defined it in His Word and through Christ. So that's what we're going to take a look at. We're going to see some sharp contrast here, but I'm going to start this first, as we should, most of the time we should. I'm going to start it with His Word. This is what God's Word says, because what we're talking about today is love of the world versus love of the Word. And I don't mean loving the Word, I mean love as it's defined in the Word, how we should be living it. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. I memorized that years ago. I think I was like 7 years old. And I thought, wow, I memorized 13 verses. That's awesome, okay? But here's what it boils down to. There's a lot in there. But there's about 3 or 4 verses right in the middle of it, verses 4 through 8a, all right? Listen to these and see where you are. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't keep scores. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And you've heard us talk about that a lot. You can't have love without the truth. It always protects, always believes, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of relationships, family, dating relationships or whatever, and for some reason they failed. Maybe it's because we're not doing love this way. And here's what I would say. I hear a lot of always and never in there without any conditions. Wow, that's maybe where we ought to start. So in order to do this, I'm going to give you the world's way first based upon that foundation of the Word. And I do it, I even do it in the book that we hope is coming out here at the end of this month. We're building in a digital version, a Kindle, an ebook. And I basically call it a satire on love, the cookie jar. Imagine with me, if you will, go back in time to your youth, child, maybe even toddlerhood, all right, probably in that stretch, or when your children were toddlers, whichever's the closest, whichever one you can remember, okay, the best. But go back to that time and think about this. You remember sitting around the dinner table with the family, and the kids were struggling to clean up the vegetables on their plate, and dad or mom went over and grabbed this jar and got over by the table and took the top off of it, and the smell wafted out. And the kids were like, whoa, what is that? And they were like, now, you eat all the green things on your plate, and orange or red or whatever, the veggies, and you can have one of these. And you're like, that smells awesome. I got to do whatever. Now, later you find some under the rug. The dog may throw some up. But you realize that the child did their best at that time to eat some of those veggies, with a few exceptions. And you were excited as a parent to go, now, you can have one cookie. And if they were really small, you might get two. But here's the interesting thing. Everybody knows that that's a loving thing. Parents love to reward their children and everything. But no parent says, good, you ate a few vegetables. Here, you guys clean up every cookie in this jar. And yet, that is the start of what we see in love today, according to the world, a lot of it. Well, I really like that. And if I really liked it, the only loving thing is for you to give me all of that I want. Isn't that the way children do their cookies? So follow with me on the satire. Picture this. Mom and dad finish, give their two children a cookie because they cleaned up most of their vegetables. And then they go, now they clean up the kitchen and they go, Betty and Johnny, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but those are two common names, so I call them Betty and Johnny. Now, Betty and Johnny, we're going to go upstairs and relax for a little while, and we want to teach you how to find and get as many cookies as you want. Okay, you're probably already going, what? Okay, well, stick with me, okay, because you're going to see how this works. So, we're going to take this, and Dad is going to screw the top back on it five times. Now, really, in order to be tight, it takes six, but that would be too tight for you guys. So we're only going to do it five, and then we're going to go up here in the corner cabinet in the kitchen behind the sugar and the flour, and that's important. That'll come in here in just a minute, and we're going to put it back behind there. So when we go upstairs, you quietly take one of the kitchen table chairs, you pull it over to the counter, and you climb. You know you're not supposed to climb on the counter, so if we start coming down, you jump down the chair and sit like nothing ever happened, and we'll act like it never happened as well. And then we go back up, and you get up on that counter. Be careful. Help each other. You don't want to fall. That would really mess things up. But you get up on that counter, and you reach in there. Open the door carefully. Don't open it and fall back off the counter again, okay? We want to be really careful while we're teaching you how to get the cookies. And then you reach back, and you very carefully move that flour, especially the flour, because if you hit it or you plop it down, even if it's closed, flour runs out on the shelves and down the door and out on the counter, and Mom and Dad will know you've been in the cookie jar. Now, we're teaching you how to get in the cookie jar, but once you remember these things, okay? So it looks like you never did until we come back the next day and there's no cookies left, all right? So you do that when you get that. Unscrew it five times. Remember, that'll work. And then have at it. All the cookies you want. Now, if you stayed with me this long, you're probably squinting or rolling your eyes or going, whatever. Because here's the question. How many of us as parents, once we are children or we as children, got that first cookie or two? How many of us had to be taught how to find and put our hands in the cookie jar? You could put that thing under lock and key or in a safe, and every one of us kids would have found a way to get to those cookies and get more. Why? Because it tasted good. It made us feel good. But remember, love is not just giving you everything because it feels good. Love is doing what's best for you. So with the cookie jars in mind, Mom and Dad say you can have one, and that's why we don't have to be taught to put our hands in the cookie jar. We know that your fleshly desires, your taste buds, are going to want more, so we have to teach you how to keep your hands out of the cookie jar. You see, it's not only loving to only give you one or maybe two small cookies, it's loving to teach you to keep from just going to get whatever you want. Has to be taught. And so those two things give a concept of love. Unfortunately, I've seen far too many people and relationships and couples sitting right here in my office that never got that. It was basically, well, I wanted more, and I whined or cried enough until my parents just gave it to me. And then I grew up and I got that as a teenager. And now as a young adult, that's what I went and looked for. And so if I have enough cookies and I could give you one, but I'm not giving you one unless you give me two. And we call that love. Literally, that's what, if you think about it, I see so many couples and people making love a give and take exchange, and eventually it's going to wear out. Now stick with me here, because I'm going to explain this a little further, and then I got a real life story that really drives the point home. I've asked this before, but I'm going to hit it again because it's very, very appropriate here. How many of you were born selfless? Got to put my hand down, right? Hope all of you did. How many of you were born selfish? Okay, get them up there, right? I can't see you, but I know you're following along, right? I hope all of you raised your hands on that, because here's the deal. We are all born selfish, and that must be overcome by teaching, training, and discipline. Oh, here he goes again. Discipleship. Yeah, because it's necessary in order to love and build good relationships. And it's not about the cookies. It's about the relationships. See, the cookie jars was a satire, right? Goofy, funny, whatever, maybe stupid. You can call it that if you want to, okay? But it gets the point across. If somebody doesn't teach us more about not only not going after all we want, but once we receive something like that, we begin to learn to give and share, we don't understand love. The natural inclination in our flesh, as with the cookie jar, is that once we've gotten something that we like, we want more of it. And we have no desire early on to share or to share enough to keep you giving me more. In other words, I will give you a little bit if you'll keep giving me more. And again, we define that as love. While you can do cookies that way for a while, as a selfish person, you're eventually going to run out. You can't do relationships. They never work that way. Oh, we try them. I see them all the time. And we think, well, we're doing really good because I shared a few cookies. But we're missing the point, you see. We have to be taught to be selfless. And if we are not, or we hold on to some part of that selfish nature, which we tend to do because we think we're protecting ourselves, it will show up in any and every relationship. What does that look like? Well, if you're still not putting together the satire or the parable of the cookie jar, here it is. I've literally seen numerous couples in relationships, picture this with me now, figuratively, walking down the aisle even, with the cookie jar in their outside arms, still going, wow, look what we're doing. I'll give you one if you give me two. Well, I've been doing that for a long time. You got to go, wait, that's not the way this works. As long as you keep giving me two, I'll give you one. Well, what happens then? Here we go. I've seen it over and over, and people are seldom, if ever, taught the only way that love really works, sticking with our cookie jar analogy here, our satire, is when we learn to say, here, you can have all of me. You can have all of my cookies. Now, let me pause a second, because what we have to remember here, if I do that, it says something about what I'm thinking of the other person. I'm willing to give all of myself to you. Now, if we're careful in this, we also begin to find that just because she's the hottest thing ever, like my wife, or she turns you on, that you're going, wow, this is going to work because I'm really feeling good about this. Remember, love's not a feeling or emotions. It has feelings and emotions attached to it, but it's a commitment, an act, a choice, an act of the will. And so not only are you learning to love, but you're learning to see what that looks like in others. And if you find someone that hasn't gotten past, I'll give you one, if you give me two, they're probably not ready for it. And you need to be looking for someone who is growing and maturing in that to the point that they can say, here. Because you see, in the world's idea, love is give and take. If I'm giving you something, then you ought to be given. I'll take it. But in God's definition, the author's definition, the authority on love is this: I'll give everything. Because eventually you'll figure out that that if you find someone that's not willing to share or give of themselves, it's not likely that they're ready for that kind of loving relationship. But boy, they sure turned me on. They're hot. Okay. If you can't look around and see how far that goes, you're missing the point here. You eventually realize that the one who is giving two for the one is going to run out quicker than the one who's giving one. And then the one who's giving one goes, oh, it's time for me to move on to the next person and the next cookie jar. So they do just that, because it's all about me. Here's the bottom line of the cookie jar, seen from the perspective of God's hesed or agape love. Now, by the way, you can go back a couple of articles or a couple of podcasts or videos and find out what hesed and agape love. If you haven't yet done that, it's on www.loveandlordship.com. You can see the articles that are building up to this. You see, love is not give and take in the author's design. Love is give, period. If I never learn to give and become selfless, if I only learn to take and demand or exact an exchange that's at least equal to, but preferably in my favor, then I will never truly know love. I mean, there might be some exchanges, and we might feel pretty good about it for a while, but at some point in time, the enemy is going to win that. Not until we can learn to die to ourselves and our selfishness and be willing to unconditionally give of ourselves for the sake of others will we ever be able to truly love. And this is a lifelong pursuit. I've been doing it for 32 years of knowing my wife as of tomorrow, I met her, and 29 years of marriage, and I'm still learning things about it, but I love it. It's not always easy, but I love it. You see, you know why? It works because that's what Jesus did. Keeping our cookie analogy, he said, here's what he said. I'm going to the cross. I'm giving all of me for you. You can have all my cookies. And what I'd love for you to do is learn what that is so you will give in return. I won't take it from you. And you shouldn't give expecting to take from somebody else. Just know that I've given freely. And I'm asking you, if you've freely received, freely give. The only way we can know that is to know Him and learn to love as He does. In a fallen world, don't miss this, love requires discipline. Now we're back to the, got to learn to keep our hands out of the cookie jar. Got to learn to give some cookies even when we would like to keep them all, right? Because they were so good. Love requires discipline or discipleship. Discipleship is lived out in loving relationships with God and with others. That's love. Now, with regard to dating and pornea and lust and love, remember that you must first learn and begin to die to self in order to love. Then not only can you love, but you also help others know what it is. And you, as I said earlier, begin to recognize in others. I'm seeing that in the person who's not just waiting for me to give something so they can give something in return, but I'm willing to give freely. And so is that person. And as I said, 32 years with my wife, I'm still learning, but it's wonderful. No matter what you see in another, no matter how hot they are, how good they make you feel or turn you on, remember that love is not a feeling, not an emotion. Their good and bad ones are attached to love, but it truly is a commitment, a choice, an act of the will. And that is why discipline and discipleship goes hand in hand with, but the world goes hand in hand with love. But the world abhors the thought of those two things being together. Don't tell me that it requires discipline on my part to be in a relationship. I'm turned on. She's turned on. Let's go for it. Right? She makes me feel good. No. Because in the church, we're going to meet all kinds of people that don't get that, and we need to love anyway. That's what we're called to as the body of Christ. You see, they do everything they can to convince us that it's love and emotions. It's really just feelings and reactions, give and take. Let me explain this just a little further before I get into my back and forth with my friend. In the Theology of the Body book by Christopher West, a Catholic book, let me tell you, I'm a Protestant. It's great stuff. Great stuff. You'll hear it right here, some of it. He says this, the tendency to grasp seems built into our fallen nature. Oh, imagine that. Remember, are you born selfless or selfish, right? We can observe it even in little children. Now we're back to the cookie jar, and he's going to use that. For example, when my son asks for a cookie for dessert, before I can even get the cookie out of the box to present it to him as a gift, what does he do? He grabs for it. He grasps at it. Taking advantage of this teachable moment, I might say to my son, now hold on there, son. You're denying the gift. Your papa loves you. I want to give this cookie to you as a gift. If you believed in the gift, and this is mine in parentheses, and the giver, okay, all you would need to do is hold out your hand in confidence and receive the cookie as a gift. This is the problem with us all, he says. We do not trust enough in our Father's love, so we keep grasping at the cookies. Imagine what our marriages, families, and relationships would look like if we knew and practiced this kind of love. Here, you can have all my cookies. Now, if you're married, literally, I'm not ashamed to say this, you can take that analogy as far as you want, okay? If you're not, be careful and wait until you are. And you know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't, text me. Comment, okay? All right? By the way, I've said it a couple times already, but we can only do this if we know the never-ending source of love, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can't love that way in and of myself. And I was a pretty nice guy, but I was a pretty nice selfish guy. Only when I died to myself for His sake could I die to myself for my wife and my kids and for others. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit deeper here. I told you I had a real-life story here from a good friend of mine. I won't give names or anything. I try and keep from doing that unless somebody knows and gives me permission. But here's the cookie jar in real life, and I've entitled this, Who'd You Buy the Roses For? It's interesting, isn't it, right? I'd known this gentleman most of my adult life, and just to speed up the story here, he'd gone through, we knew each other in college in the mid-80s, came back in the late 90s, and he was going through a divorce. And his wife ended up leaving him. He did a rebound relationship that ended up in a quick marriage and another divorce within a year and a half. And to this day, we've still been working on those things. But even right after the second divorce, which the flesh naturally tends to do, he went back out in a rebound dating relationship. And I'd encouraged him not to do that, that it was going to be trouble to take. And as a matter of fact, now, 10, 15 years later, he is taking a sabbatical from dating completely. and saying, because I've told him many times, same thing I went through, and I've told many other men in particular, you got a problem relying on the wrong things. If you will take the time to really get to know the Lord, He will show you who you are, give you the strength as you love Him, and you'll be able to build that into every relationship. And He's doing that now. But in the meantime, he's in another rebound relationship. It's a single mom who's a teacher, and they had seen each other for 2 months or so and been together almost every day doing something. And she, on a Sunday evening, she's getting ready to go into the week of school, and she says, listen, I'm not going to be able to see you this week at all. I've got testing, school-wide testing. And he said, okay, I understand. That's fine. So just let me know. I'll touch base. If you need anything, let me know. Well, he's a couple of days later on Tuesday, he shows up at her condo or town or whatever, rings the doorbell. She goes, hey, what are you doing here? And he slides a dozen roses out from behind his back. And he hands her and said, look, I'm not here to bother you. I don't want anything. I just wanted you to know I'm thinking of you and praying for you and wanted to see these roses. I hope your testing's going well. And he said, see you. That's all I wanted. And he left. Man, that was great. It was wonderful. We'd all do that. Now, don't forget my cookie jar analogy here, right? So everything's great. And he says, and we're in the next week when we're meeting and doing our iron sharpening iron thing, our discipleship thing together. So this is after the fact of that week. He's telling me this story. And he comes back and he says, so I left her alone. I text her a couple times, I'm praying for you, and that's it. It was fine. I showed up at her house again on Friday evening, ready to go, out of date. We'd gone for nearly 2 months straight. And here I showed up on Friday night, and she comes to the door, and she's shocked and goes, what are you doing here? And he said, well, we've been going out for a couple months now. I knew you were off this week, but testing's over. We're going to go out, right? And she goes, I'm sorry, but you know I have a child, and I promised my child that after this week of testing, I would do something with them tonight. She said, did we talk about this at all? And he goes, no. I just assumed that we'd been doing this, go out. And she said, I can't do that. So he said, oh, okay, I understand. You notice how I said that. I understand. Yeah, and he walked away, and here we were the next week, and he's fuming. He's angry. He's frustrated, and he's going, I can't believe she did that. And I go, and I'm sitting there listening to him. We talked about the expectations. We talked about the communication and all of those things and the problems with that or lack thereof. And then I said to him, I said, the Holy Spirit laid this on my mind. That's why it's going to be in my book, too, this part of this. I said to him, let me ask you a question. He said, sure. I said, who'd you buy the roses for? And he kind of a little hint of disgust. He said, I bought them for her. And I said, I paused for a little bit. And I looked at him and I said, who did you buy the roses for? I bought them for her. I said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Who did you really buy the roses for? And he paused for about 10, 15 seconds and he goes, I bought them for me, didn't I? And I said, now we're getting it. You see, cookie jar, I'm going to give you roses on Tuesday night so that on Friday night we have a great night, a date night. And we get closer and you turn me on and I'm excited and I turn you on. We'll be careful as best we can, but we're still going to enjoy the time together. You really bought the roses so you could have a good time. And he said, oh, my goodness. He told me just recently, after 10 or 15, 12 years down the road, he still goes back to that and says, that taught me as much about love as almost anything I've ever heard. And he said, I realized I did. See, that's the culture's description and MO, modus operandi, when it comes to so-called love. But that's really lust because we do things with a full expectation of a return. Now, remember, if there is love, then if I give and the other person loves me, what are they going to do their gift? But I never demand it. I never give expecting it, although my human nature will do that. You see, God's love, agape and hesed, is selfless and reaches out and serves and gives and loves regardless of the response or a return. Now, that's hard to grasp in our selfish flesh, but the love He gives to us and desires for us to then share with others never takes into consideration the expectations. I'm not saying you won't have them. I'm saying we don't base our response and our love actions on that. It gives us the full option to respond, but love continues even when we don't respond or we do so negatively. How are you when that happens to you? We'll have expectations. We're human. The reality is, though, that expectations are the termites of relationships. And here's why. When we encounter unmet expectations that we've set up, we tend to define our partner, ourselves, and our relationship based on whether they met our expectations or not. You see, that's always an expectation. I give, so you better have something for me. Give and take, right? I've seen this played out over and over and over again, whether it was roses, candies, gift, sex, or any other cookies in the cookie jar. In God's design, we choose to give and love even when our expectations are not met. That's what God did. That's the kind of love that He desires for us to have in every relationship, but we must remember that apart from Christ, we can't love in this way. This old self gets in the way every time. Again, the full article is www.loveandlordship.com, and I tell you what, I'm going to stop right there. That took me a little longer than I thought it would. And I'll save this other part for next week where I have the interaction with my other friends. So I appreciate you joining us. And I just want to let you know an update that on Love and Lordship here, okay? We had set a goal of $25,000 for the mid-year. And we had to add about $2,500 of that for publishing because the book is getting ready to come out. $27,500, we are down to $6,000 now. Thanks to you guys, the people that have given. If the Lord lays it on your heart, please do so. If He doesn't, don't. But keep asking Him where He wants you to give because He wants to bless you, literally. So be willing to give wherever that is. If it's not here, find out where that is and do so. I'm going to give you 5 action items, though, before we close out today based upon this idea of love. Number 1, determine how you've understood and are acting on love. Is it according to the world and self or according to God's Word? Number 2, pay close attention to how your own expectations impact those around you and your loving or not so loving responses to them. Number 3, this is in every one of them, make it a habit to be in God's Word and in your study and your prayer and your quiet time to determine what you think of love and how you're living it out and how you're responding to others. He'll show you. Number 4, confess your selfishness every single time you give into it. I don't care if it's once a year or 1,000 times a day, because He is faithful to forgive you, and He wants you to keep coming to Him so you can grow in it and learn what that kind of love is. It's the only kind that really works. And number 5, ask and trust the Lord to change how you see love and how you act accordingly. Again, contact us at loveandlordship@gmail.com. Loveandlordship@gmail.com. My cell is 859-229-6504. 859-229-6504. You can check out the articles, the videos, the podcast of all these and previous ones there on the website. Continue to pray for us. Our desire is that we can help you live joyfully and have fulfilling and healthy relationships in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't charge for any of this. So you call us. This is a safe place. And we'll talk about anything you do. And I promise you, we will go back to the Word. It's where the answer will come from, as I hope you see every single time we do this. Because we desire to make disciples who make disciples in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ in every home and every church. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ.